Hey, everybody, before we get into this week's show, I just want to let you know about Lane Finder, which is a partner of Hammer Lane Legends. Lane Finder is an app you can go ahead and download as a trucker, and it will help you find your dream job as a trucker. This is a truck driving app. It's not for anybody. It's just for truck drivers. And what it is you download this app and you fill out your information, and it will design a profile for you. And when there is a job in the area fitting the criteria that you're looking for in a job, they will notify you so you can get first dibs on applying and getting that job that you always wanted. Lane Finder. Go ahead and click the links in the description of this episode for Android or iOS, and you will be able to download your app right to your phone and get started today. And by using the link in the description, you're helping out Hammer Lane Legends immensely, because Lane Finder will then know that you came from us and they'll keep us around promoting their products. So thanks in advance, and let's get to the show.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild story you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Now, Dad, who are we talking to today?
Today, Tony, we're talking to a driver from Texas. His name is Cannon. He is an over-the-road driver. He's had a few experiences on the road, and we're going to sit and have a good conversation with him. And he has this one thing that keeps popping up. It's a recurring theme, this whole black dog thing that some drivers see. Well, this is a recurring theme for him. So I think it's going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a good conversation. So let's just get to it right now. Cannon, how you doing, man?
Oh, pretty good, Tony. Yourself?
Doing well. So listen, you mentioned to us that you have about 5 years of over-the-road driving so far. You're a trucker, and you initially emailed my other show, The Confessionals, about your experience here, and we're going to get into it in a little bit. But when we found out that you were a truck driver, we figured, why not have you come on and talk about your experiences on Hammer Lane Legends? It only makes sense, right?
Yeah. You know, it's that experience that I had that we're going to talk about later. I actually wasn't in a truck. I was just in a pickup, but... It still applies, because it's a truck driver's myth, if that's what you want to call it, a myth, legend,
yeah,
a Hammer Lane legend. But at that time I was driving, I just happened to be in a pickup when it happened, and it's happened to me several times since then, and I've been in a truck every time since then. So
very interesting.
It's been a wild ride the past 5 years, for sure.
I'm sure, man. Listen, I always say, if you've been driving truck for 5-10 years, you got stories to share. And you even mentioned it when we were just talking about how, you know, you feel like some of your experiences are just vanilla. And I think conversation is interesting. And I think people just tune in to hear conversation. And so, you know, and what we think is vanilla, a lot of times people are like, wow, you know, because they don't know, they're not in the truck like we are all the time. I mean, a lot of times I talk to truckers, I've mentioned it to several truckers that I work with and stuff about, hey, you know, come on the show and we'll talk and stuff. And they'll say, I don't have any stories. I'm like, you've been driving at this company alone for 30 years. You have stories to share. You just don't realize, because after a while, the things that caught you off guard in the beginning become so normal to you, you don't think it's anything special. But people who aren't truck drivers, they're like, holy crap, you know?
Well, I was going to say, so much of it, though, too, is when you get a bunch of truckers in the room, a lot of our stories are a lot of the same stories or a lot of the same stuff. It, every now and then someone has that real wild one, but a real wild story for a truck driver would probably blow most people's minds beyond what they could expect, because our normal stories are already wild enough for the normal motoring public. But yeah, it's very true. When you spend 11 hours a day just driving, and then another 10 of that sitting around waiting for something, or, you know, when you're gone from home, when you're out on the road 2 or 3 weeks at a time at a minimum, you're going to see some stuff. It's just the law of statistics is going to help you on that. You're going to see some stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. How'd you get into truck driving?
Well, I grew up out in West Texas on a farm and ranch, and dad owned a couple trucks that he used just for transporting equipment or transporting the crop from the field. And I always liked being around the equipment, but the thing I enjoyed the most was when we would load up the truck and we would go 600 miles to Houston, and dad would do it all in one shot, and we'd get down there to the port of Houston, and dad would climb back in the bunk, and I would lay across the driver's seat and the passenger seat and sleep there, and then we'd wake up in the morning, offload there at the port of Houston, and turn right back around. And so I always enjoyed that. Dad drove a truck, but he wasn't a truck driver. But I always enjoyed that. I got my CDL pretty close out of high school, and the first couple of years I kind of drove and went and did something else, but I've always come back to driving. And about 3 or 4 years ago, I finally was like, you know, I really like driving. I'm good at it, and so I'm really gonna pursue this as a career, and haven't looked back since. So it's been good to me. It's been good to my family.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, as you're talking about how far it was from where you are to Houston, the ports of Houston, I'm thinking to myself, everybody says everything is bigger in Texas. You can't drive 600 miles in a straight line here in Pennsylvania and still be in Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? So Texas is really a very large state. It's crazy when you think about that kind of distance. And it just made me think, you know, I mean, I've been driving for almost 30 years now. And it's like, I can't imagine driving 600 miles to one destination.
Well, if you come Interstate 10 comes in at Orange, Texas, on the Louisiana line, which is in southeast Texas, more east Texas.
Right.
And when you come in there, the mile marker says, I think it's 835 miles. And that's 835 miles of Interstate 10 to El Paso, Texas.
Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing how big Texas is. It really is a huge place. Yeah.
I know guys that they've been driving for 20 years. They have millions of miles under their belt, never left the state, you know, and they stay gone 2 weeks at a time, and they never leave the state.
Wow.
You know, they pick up a load in Dallas, Fort Worth, go to San Antonio, to El Paso, back to Dallas, Fort Worth, Dallas, Fort Worth, down to Houston. You know, I mean, they just make this big circle, and they never leave the state, and they'll drive 3,000-4,000 miles a week and never leave the state.
That's incredible. Yeah. I know. Like, Texas is huge, and I didn't realize how big it was until I was down there last year. I did a live show in Houston, and I drove from Houston to Dallas, which was, I think it was like a 4-hour drive, and I couldn't believe that it took 4 hours just to get between those two cities. And I'm looking on the map, like the whole state, I'm like, holy crap. Like, it's just, it never ends. It never ends. And so when you drove,
I'm looking at my trucker's atlas here in Texas, it's 4 pages. Texas is 4 pages.
Wow.
You know, it's unreal. But it's a company I first worked at when I right out of high school, a little electrical supply company. One of our salesmen, he used to be a big salesman for Siemens, and he was telling me their regional manager flew into Dallas, Fort Worth, and this salesman that I knew picked him up, and the first thing out of the regional manager's mouth, and he was out of the Northeast, he said, all right, we've got a meeting in Houston, then a meeting in San Antonio, a meeting in El Paso, and I've got a flight leaving Dallas, Fort Worth again tonight at 10 o'clock. And the salesman looked him straight in the eye. Okay, where are we, you know, where's our next flight? Where are we? He said, what do you mean? He said, look at a map and get a ruler out and measure that out. There's no way we're driving to all four of those places and getting you back here by 10 o'clock tonight. It's impossible. Doing 100 miles an hour, you couldn't do it. It's a lot of people just don't realize it. It's not ignorance or stupidity. It's just if you've been to the Northeast where you can drive for 2 hours and pass four or five state lines, you just don't realize when you get out there to Texas, it is a whole nother ball game, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we drove from Philadelphia to, if we did an 8 hour drive, you can drive from this area up to Niagara Falls. So I'm in the Philly area and I can drive from here to Niagara Falls in 8 hours. I think what if you go from the very tip bottom of Texas to the very top part up the Oklahoma area, that little handle up there, what is that, like a 14, 16?
Yeah, up around Amarillo. Yeah, yeah. It's if you go from Brownsville, which is down there in the very, very tip, it's right there on the Mexico line, and you drive, if you drive the most direct route you can to just Amarillo, which Amarillo is still 30, 40 minutes in any direction to a state line. Yeah, it's something like 15 hours or so.
Wow. I mean, 15 hours. And that, go ahead.
I'm just saying, and that's stay on it. You know, that's not including the pee stops and lunch, breakfast, and dinner. You know, you're going to have to stop and eat several times on that trip. And it's wild. But one thing that's nice about Texas is you get away from the metropolitan areas, man, you can make up some miles because the speed limits are 75, 80 miles an hour. And our state highways are like interstates. A lot of our state highways are two lanes each direction with a median in the middle. So we definitely believe in making some time up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I can't imagine, man. I mean, Dad, if I was going to head west from here and I drove 15 hours, how far would I get?
You're looking at like Indiana, Illinois.
So we're talking, I think, yeah. Several states.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're going through PA, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. When we took Jack out to college, our youngest, it was I think it was 21 hours or something like that is what I want to say. And he went in Minnesota from here. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at a good, it's a good ride. You can get pretty far through a lot of states from here.
Yeah. So that kind of gives people a perspective as to how big Texas is, because I know we have an international audience. We have people who, we just got done talking to a guy before we called you who's in the UK. And so it gives people a perspective as to how big Texas really is. It's absolutely huge. And if you guys decided to ever secede from the Union, you definitely could have enough space to be your own nation. That's for sure. It's absolutely
huge. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's another thing I liked about Texas is driving in Texas, you're not looking at the same scenery all day long. If you start out in East Texas, I mean, you're in forest. I mean, pine trees that are 50, 60 foot tall. You can't, you know, from the highway, you can't see past the first 5 foot of the bar ditch. And as you're driving, it turns into rolling grass plains, and then it turns into hill country, and then it turns into open desert. I mean, you've got all these different ecosystems and topography going on in Texas. You know, and if you go down to South Texas, you've got the beach and you've got the sands and the dunes and all that. And then if you go further southeast, you get into marshland. So, I mean, you've got it all in Texas. You know, it's unreal how much just land it covers, because you're not in desert all day, but you're not in forest either. You get to see all these different kinds of scenery and kinds of land, and you've never left the state.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
So it sounds like you love Texas and you're never going to live anywhere else.
There's a couple places. I drove through Montana for the first time, actually, a few months back, and I could move to Montana. But in my mind, it's just a colder Texas. That's why I could do it. It's I really like that, too. But that's the kind of... I grew 15 minutes outside of a town of 2,000 people, you know, and the grocery store closed at 8 o'clock at night. So if you wanted to go to a super Walmart, it was another 45 minute drive. And I mean, 45 minutes driving 60 miles, not 45 minutes in traffic going about 20, 30 miles down the road. I'm 60 miles. It's a trip. You know, we're loading up, we're going. It's not around the corner. So, but that's how I grew up, and that's what I like. There's a lot of people that can't do it. So, and no fault to them, you know, stay in the big cities and I'll stay out here in the open country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was just looking it up, and Texas is like 268 some thousand square miles or something like that. I mean, it's an enormous place. So, but it's such a, you know, I think it holds kind of a place in a lot of people's minds that is like everything really is bigger in Texas, you know, and when you look at two time zones and all kinds of, you know, and as vast as it is, the diversity of people is the same. You know, it's a very mm-hmm. diverse state as far as political ideology, as far as people, as far as thought. It's really amazing. It's just amazing. Anyway, so now that we got through all of Texas and all that, walk us into your truck driving experience, into how you got, well, now we know how you got into trucking and how you got interested in it. But once we get through all of that stuff, where do we go from here? What do you find the interesting stuff in trucking, and where do you think it's going to take you to? And then your stories.
Well, you know, the thing I like about truck driving is I like the physical aspect of driving. I love getting out there on the road and pounding pavement and getting to see the scenery and just going. And that's the way I've always liked it. And sometimes it can be a good thing. Sometimes it can be a bad thing, because I'm sitting right here waiting 26 hours to make a delivery, and I'm already here. But the appointment's at 5 o'clock Monday at night. So it was a good thing I got here early, and I'm that kind of guy. When you give me a load, boom, I go, and I love it. And man, I love those loads. Here you go. Here's 1,500 miles, and you got two, three days to get it done. You know, get it. And I like that. I like that, just getting out there and doing my own thing and just being, I guess, really, it I'm cliche, but just kind of being like just free, being kind of like doing the cowboy thing. You know, it just, I'm out here. This is my rig. This is my show. And I'm going to get the job done. And that's all that matters. And that's what I like about it too, is here's the load. We don't care how you get it done, as long as you get it done and you get it there safe. That's it. That's all the guidelines for the job. And that's what I've always really liked about it. I've done a couple things before doing over the road as far as driving goes. Did some like regional short haul delivery stuff, delivering oversized buildings, prefabricated buildings. And that was fun, but it got old really quick, because you're having to deal with a customer, not an aspect of here's the paper, sign it. It's okay, where do you want this? Then let's try and figure out how to get this delivered. And those were fun for a time being, but it's like, you're not getting windshield time. And that's what I like about it. I like the windshield time. That's how I get paid, but that's just a benefit of getting paid to do it. I just like getting out there and going. And I don't care where I'm going. California, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, New York, I don't care. Let me go. And I just, that's how I was raised, was, you know, if you've got a job, do the job right, do it to the best of your ability. And that's just how I like to run it. And I don't take any time off as far as law, as taking my time to get there. When I've got a load, I get there. And then, like I said, it bites me in the butt, because now I'm sitting here for 24 hours waiting to make a delivery, but I'm here, the job's done. All I've got to do is back into a dock. And that's what I like about it. A lot of guys I talk to nowadays don't like the driving, but for some reason they're a truck driver. I've never understood that. If you don't like the driving aspect, then why are you driving a truck? Because that's a big part of the job.
Right.
And
exactly.
I did the college thing for a year. It wasn't my gig. I came back home and I just got my CDL. So I was like, well, you know, dad's got one. And, there was a friend of the family that needed some help with the truck driving position. So I got my CDL, started driving for him. And then I left that, went and did the oil field in West Texas for a while and got laid off when things went bad, went back to driving, did that for 6 or 7 months, then tried to go back to school and it didn't work out. And then that's when I really came back to driving. And when the college thing didn't work out again, and I had to to sit down, and that was when I kind of had, okay, I've got to get a job. I've got to have something to support my family. And then I had the thought, well, you know, of all the jobs that I've had, the only ones that I didn't dread going to, because every job I've had other than truck driving, 4 or 5 months into it, if I make it even that long, you just hit this wall and it's like, man, I do not want to go in anymore. You know, you're trying to figure out, do I have any sick days left, or can I come up with an excuse? Because I just don't want to go in for whatever reason, you know. And it might just be because I don't want to work there anymore. And so that's when I looked at it, like, you know, I like truck driving. Let's give it a real shot. And I hired on with a large carrier. And I'll say their name because, I mean, I didn't do anything. Nothing happened there. I hired on with Averitt. And, you know, they've got 5,000 trucks. And I loved every second of it. And about 2 or 3 months into it with Averitt, I was like, you know, this is what I was made to do. This is what I like to do. Just get in the truck and stick her in the wind, man. And like I was saying, it's your own show. It's your own thing. As far as, you know, here's the load, pick up here, deliver there. It's got to be here by a certain time, make it happen. And that's what I've done. And it's been good to my family. You know, the nice thing about it now is I'm at a carrier. I make my own schedule. Their only requirement is I average 2,000 miles a week. So if I want to go home for a week, I can. As long as I keep that average up, I'm fine. And I've been able to find that balance that some truck drivers say they can't find. Now, I do sometimes go to the extreme on the work side, because it's like, well, if I stay out one more week, I can make this much more money and get these extra bills paid off or something like that. And my wife, she's the one that has to tell me, no, you know, you need to come home. We'll be fine. Come home for a few days and get out of the truck and do all of that. But it's been good to me, and I wouldn't do anything else. I can't sit behind a desk all day. I can't do it. I've tried it. I've tried it before in school. I think that's part of the reason the school thing didn't work out. I just can't do this all day. Like, let me get out and actually physically do something. Sit behind a computer all day long, I just can't do it. And nothing against the people that do it, but it's not for me. It's not my cup of tea. And that's how I got to where I'm at now. It's a way to make a living, and not only a living, but a really good living. It allows my wife to stay home full time with the kids. So, you know, a lot of people talk bad about it, but I think a lot of them have just, my personal opinion, I think they haven't done the homework to find the position in truck driving that works for them. I think they've settled somewhere, and that's why they're so unhappy.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, man. Absolutely agree with you. And I'm kind of in the same lines as you. Like, the actual driving part, I actually really enjoy. For me, it's the industry that I work in, the LTL industry. What sucks is the constant stop, go, stop, go, stop, go. You have 15, 16 deliveries to do in a very short amount of time. You got bang, 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 that all out. Then they start throwing pickups, and you got to hit all those pickups before they close. It's just like, it's very stressful. And the driving aspect of things, absolutely love. It's the boom, boom, the bebopping around and everything drives me up the wall. But
yeah,
what you're talking about and stuff, man, listen, I've thought about doing over the road. The only difference between you and me is my wife won't let me do it. So there's no way. Now she's a stay at home mom too. And she, you know, what I do has allowed her to, you know, do what she does, and we're grateful for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does not want me over the road. So,
you know, maybe something I've thought about doing that. I actually did LTL with Averitt, but that was a team position and it was a line haul position. And so it was kind of more what your dad was doing, which what's your dad's name? I don't want to keep saying your dad. What is?
That's okay. My name is Brian. That's all right.
You can call him Brian. You can
okay.
call well, whatever. I'm okay well, with whatever. That's fine.
Well, I just trying to be respectful,
yeah,
but yeah.
I appreciate that.
So it's more what Brian was doing, but what I liked about that was it was a team thing. So we weren't doing the short haul stuff that was just, you know, 300 miles out, 300 miles back. My teammate and I, we'd load up in Dallas Monday night, and we might get a run out to Chicago. And then we'd get up to Chicago, and then Chicago to Nashville, Nashville to Miami, Miami to New Orleans back to Dallas. And I enjoyed that aspect of the LTL, but I've got to give you props, Tony, because I couldn't do the day driver thing, because I couldn't drive around all the cities all day long. And that's, you know, if you're an LTL P&D guy, that's pretty much where you're going to be at the cities all day, because that's where the industry's at 99% of the time. And hey, more power to you, man. I couldn't do it.
It's funny you say that, because my dad says the same thing to me all the time. In fact, I think you said that to me today.
I did. Yeah. We were just talking about that.
It's one of those things where when I first started it, I didn't start out driving trailer at Pitt. I started out driving straight trucks. And so I was down in Philadelphia. When I first started, I was down in Center City, Philadelphia with a straight truck, you know, trying to find where all this stupid crap goes. And it was very stressful. My first summer there, it was like, I'm in a straight truck with no heat. I'm not flying down the highway with a breeze going through my window. I'm in downtown Center City. There's no breeze. So I'm in a truck, no AC, and it's 90, 93, 95 degrees. I'm stressed out. I can't find anything. People are honking because I don't know which turn to make. You know, you're at the location, but you can't see any signs to say that, you know, what you're looking for. So you have to stop the truck, find a spot to put the truck, and then get out and walk around Center City trying to find your customer, only to go find your truck again to either unload it there and walk it to their door, or drive the truck around more blocks trying to find a better spot to get it closer. It's a stressful pain in the butt kind of thing to go through. But when you do it as much as I did it, it becomes part of your environment, becomes the normal. And over time, you find yourself not getting as stressed. You're just like, it is what it is. It sucks. Now, I don't do Philadelphia now. I don't hit the city. I have a run where I'm on the outside of the city, and I haven't done the city in a long time. And if they put me in the city tomorrow, I'd be stressed. I'd be very grumpy. I'd be very miserable. Dispatch will not like me tomorrow. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I picked this load that I've got on me right now. I picked up in Chicago, and I mean Chicago, West 43rd Street, Chicago. And I went in there at midnight, and all I could think about was, man, I could not do this during the daytime. Cause I'm in a 70-foot truck, and where I was going was actually in the old stockyards of Chicago. So, you know, that's how old. That's the part of Chicago I'm in. It's the original Chicago. You know, gangsters were running around 100 years ago, Chicago, and it's like, man, there's signs everywhere, low bridge, or this road closed from this time to that, and it's like, God Almighty, I couldn't, and that's all I was picturing was like, there's guys that do this during the daytime in a 70-foot truck. You know, now granted, usually they've got some specialized, you know, the trailers are only like 11-foot tall or something, so they can get around a little better. It's like, man, I couldn't do this. And I was the only guy out there. I drove around that part of Chicago for about 10, 15 minutes trying to get to my destination, never saw another vehicle. And I was stressed on that.
Yeah.
I was stressed on that. And it's like, golly, there's guys that do this when everybody's up and moving and doing their whole thing. And it's like, oh man, it just makes you almost sick to your stomach thinking about it.
It does. It does. And you know, the funny thing is for Tony drives for the same company I drive for. And when I started 23 years ago, I was doing city P&D, and I did it for about 2 years. And the first time a line haul position opened up at night, I was like, put me on it, because I did not like running North Jersey. I did not like running, you know, all of the whole North Jersey, just that corridor there, just right, you know, over to Bayonne, all of that.
Yeah.
You know, Hoboken with a 48-foot trailer and all this weird stuff that you're doing. It's like, nope, I'm just, you know, when a line haul opens up, I want to do that. Cause I like you, I enjoy the drive. That's what I enjoy. I enjoy the drive.
Well, and you know, and I've even got to give props to you, Brian, because what you do, I couldn't do. I actually worked on the dock for a time being while I was going to college the second time for Estes, and they had some line haul positions. And there's a guy, he's been in that same line haul position for 25 years, running the same route for 25 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I couldn't do that, because that's, you get to the point, you know where the bump's at, you know where, it's like you could drive it in your sleep almost, and it's like, God, I don't know how he does it.
That's the truth.
He's been doing the same thing, and his position was, his line haul run was it was meeting up with a guy coming out of Memphis, and the way Estes runs their line haul is, even if you're pulling two empty pups, you're going, because that guy that you're meeting is probably bringing you something. And the only time I ever saw his run shut down was when Memphis got iced in 2 years ago. That's the only time he didn't run. And he told me in 25 years, he's not made that run 15 times. And it just blows your mind. It's like, so for 25 years, he has made that run every night, every day, every week, and has only missed it 15 times.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a different type of animal doing line haul. And that's why, like, you know, we kind of, do bids every 6 months, you know, kind of like change the way you're doing what you want to do. If you want to do the same thing, you can do the same thing you want. You know, you got seniority and you want to do that run, go ahead and do it for the next 30 years. But I, you know, you try and change it up every now and then just so it doesn't become monotony. You know, you don't want it to be a monotonous job where you just can't stand it anymore. Cause when it gets to that point, it's time to change. You know, so that's what I do. I change mine up every now and then.
Yeah, that was the only bad thing about that terminal I worked at was a smaller terminal, so they only had like four or five positions.
Right.
And as far as line haul goes, and that position he had was the best paying one. It was the most miles. The rest of them were about 400, 500 miles round trip. His was like 630 round trip. And wow. that's still a per mile pay scale. So he was, you need to get as many miles as you can. And the thing about it, he just has to love it because he was retired military. So he's getting a pension from his military. And then he's already, at that time when I knew him, he was 75, 76. And he's just driving to drive, man. And he's one of those guys, I'm sure y'all have seen it. You pull up to a truck and you're like, who in the world here is driving a Corvette? What truck drivers make the kind of money drive? That was him, man. He had a brand new Corvette because he's just stacking money, man. He's just stacking money. He's got two retirements, Social Security, his wife's retired. You know, the house is paid for. He's just stacking money, man, and buying toys. And that was the whole thing. And every now and then I'll see that, and I'm like, oh, man, that must be a line haul guy, because you'll see a Corvette parked out there with the truck drivers parked in, and it's like, man.
Yeah.
But you got to give him props. He's been running the same route for 25 years.
We got line haul guys at Pitt that drive Cadillacs and stuff like that. And yeah, you know, it's a line haul guy. And when you see the car, you can then decide, or you can imagine what their life is like outside of work. So if they're driving a Cadillac, they've been doing it a long time, and they either their kids are out of the house or they don't got any kids in the house ever. And that's why they got what they got. And you could just tell, like, when you pull into a trucking yard and you see all the employee cars, you see the different cars, you can tell where they're at in life. Like, I drive a 1993 Ford Ranger. So where do you think I'm at in life?
Hey, man, I drive a 96 Caprice Classic, man.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's what I'm in. And, yeah, I know what you mean. Of course, you know, we've got our own little twist on it down here in Texas. The Corvette thing is one, but nine times out of ten, the guy that's doing really well, he's got an F-350 with, you know, a 6-inch lift on it, big chrome wheels and all that. That's the guy that's making the money. You know, the Cadillacs, we don't even look at those. It's where's that pickup at? Where's that $80,000, $90,000 pickup? And those are the line haul guys a lot of the time.
You know what guys are making the money? I'm going to tell you, the guy that it's the guy that's driving the 2001 Toyota Camry with 310,000 miles on it, because that's what I drive. A Toyota Camry,
hey, man,
2001, hey. 310,000 miles on my car, and I'm still driving it for work.
Let me tell you though, the reason why his car has so many miles on it is because he drives an hour one way to get to work every day, and he's been doing it for 20 some years. The guy is insane. When I bought my house, I told my realtor I don't want to drive more than 20 minutes to work. He buys a house that's an hour away from his terminal, and he's been doing it for forever. So that's why he has so many
miles. Now to be fair, being in PA, is it an hour, like an hour at 60 miles an hour, or is it an hour in stop and go traffic?
It's an hour at the highway.
At the highway? Yeah, okay, well, that's not too bad. I can do an hour on the highway, an hour in traffic. That would drive me up the wall.
Exactly.
I couldn't do that.
But yeah, with working at night too, sometimes I just get off the highway and take the back trails, back to get to work and get home in the morning, because sometimes you want to get off the highway. But it's an hour ride.
That's another thing I like about this job. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, not at all.
But that's another thing I like about the driving. I was coming out here to Cold Spring, Minnesota from Chicago, and I took the most circuitous route I could find, because I was like, I got all the time to get there. I'm going to go see some different country. And with how everything's going right now, I was like, I do not want to go through St. Paul, Minneapolis. So I drove 100 miles out of my way just to go a different way, just to see some different country and do my own thing. And so I understand that completely, Brian. Sometimes you just got to get off the beaten path to either get around the traffic or just to see something different every now and then.
Yep, just to get the scenery, because otherwise, especially when you're in your own personal car, it's like, when I'm doing that, or like you going around, going around St. Paul and all that. I totally get that. I would avoid that with as much. Well, as hard as I would try, you know what I mean? It's like my mind has just gone blank. Yeah. I'm looking for a word that denotes
as
how.
As much gusto. As much gusto as possible.
Yes,
yeah.
That's it.
Well, I've always, I would rather drive 40 miles out of the way than sit for 40 minutes.
Yes. You feel like you're moving, right?
That's how I've always looked at it.
Yeah, you feel like you're still moving.
Because at least I'm moving, I'm accomplishing something.
Yes.
And, I mean, if you're going to lose the 40 minutes, I might as well lose it driving rather than sitting still.
I totally agree with that.
But that's how I've always thought. So, that's another thing I like about driving is with a CDL and truck driving, man, there are so many options out there. You can deliver beer, you can do EMD, you can do over the road. You can deliver stage equipment. If you can haul stage equipment and go to all these awesome concerts. Well, not right now, but when everything opens back up. All right, there's so many different avenues to go, and they're really, if you take the time to look for it, especially after you've got some experience in and you've got that flexibility, and you take some time to look, you can find something that fits you. More home time, better pay. Whatever. There are so many options out there, and we're all driving a truck, but you're doing it for a different industry, or you're doing something that's a little more specialized. I mean, there's something out there for everybody in truck driving, where in my mind, an office job is an office job. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're sitting behind a computer, you're sitting behind a computer, and just, that's what I like about it too, is the flexibility.
Yes. Yep. Totally agree with that.
So why don't you talk to us about some of these experiences, man? You have let's start with the smaller stuff before we get into the one that you actually contacted us about. So talk to me about some of these other experiences that you've had driving trucks that kind of just made you kind of scratch your head a little bit.
Well, I haven't really had many supernatural experiences, if you want to say that. I've had a lot of experiences, and if you want to call them an experience, I've had a lot of the driving down the highway, especially at night when I was doing that team LTL position. I was the nighttime driver, because I've always enjoyed driving nighttime. But I've had those times where you just hit this section of highway and it's like, man, I need to get out of here as fast as possible. That's happened to me more times than I can count. You hit this dead patch, it feels like, in the middle of the highway, out in the middle of nowhere. And it's just like, this is not a good place to be. And I've had that happen before. It's like, man, I'm getting kind of tired. I need to pull over and take my 30-minute break. And then I hit this spot, and it's like, nope, I'm wide awake. I do not need to stop here. I'm not stopping until I see some lights somewhere. That's happened to me more times than I count. Now, I don't know if that's a superstitious thing, but kind of makes me think that way. I've seen a lot of, seen a few wrecks. I passed one yesterday coming across Minnesota. I passed them, and I did, at first I blew past them like everybody else was. And as I passed them, their car was totaled. It was just out on this highway in Minnesota, and the car is just destroyed. I mean, it looked like they hit a brick wall at 60 miles an hour. And so I turned around, came back, pulled up behind them, and the guy's going on about a deer. And I couldn't find the deer anywhere. He's going on about this deer that he'd hit, and I've never seen a deer do this kind of damage. I've seen that a couple times. Actually, about a month or two back, I was on my way back from Colorado, headed into Fort Worth, Texas, and I was listening to your show, Tony, and all of a sudden, this woman, she's in front of me. She's driving down the highway doing 75, 80 miles an hour. All of a sudden, she just goes from the right-hand lane to the left-hand lane, down into the median, comes out of the median, crosses all both lanes again, down into the bar ditch, comes back out of the bar ditch, and comes to a stop in the left-hand lane. I thought I was going to watch her roll it. I thought I was about to watch somebody die. And I pulled up behind her to make sure she was fine. I didn't have any extra underwear for her. She obviously was scared to death. But how she saved it, I don't know. And all I could think about after I left that was, man, if she had done that 10 seconds sooner, I would have killed her. Because she passed me, and it was about 10 seconds after she passed me when that started. If she had done that much sooner as she was getting past me, I would have ran right over. Because we're out in the middle of this highway. I'm doing 70 miles an hour, and I'm loaded down. I'm weighing 80,000 pounds on the dot. She would have been creamed. And all I could think about was 10 seconds. 10 seconds is what made that difference between her surviving or not. And I know what it was. She was on her cell phone. I know that's what she was. But it was just, I've seen that before, seen a couple things like that. But the craziest thing I've seen out there was one night I'm coming, and I was doing the team LTL thing again, and we're coming from Atlanta to Dallas, Texas. It's 830 some odd miles. And we're on Interstate 20. It's Interstate 20 all the way, just a straight shot. And I'm on Interstate 20. I'm about 5 or 6 hours into my driving shift, so it's probably around midnight or so. And your dad will know this, Tony. That time of night, all that's out on the interstates really is trucks. That's all it is. After midnight, it's pretty much only trucks, especially during the weekdays. And I'm on this stretch of Interstate 20 in Texas, and it's just desolate. There's nothing. We're in East Texas. You can't see anything. It's pitch black. The bar ditches are filled with trees, and there's nothing around. And I'm following an R&L set, and he's a few truck lengths in front of me. I'm behind him. We're just puttering along 65 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, he just whips it as hard as he could to the left-hand side. And I thought he had a blowout, because he jerked the wheel so hard, the wheels on that rear puck came off the ground. And I thought he was going to roll it. And he saved it. By the grace of God, he saved it. And right when I noticed he saved it, all of a sudden something told me to look in front of me, see what was going on. And there's a man walking down the middle of the interstate towards traffic, like he's just trying to get ran over. And I had to jerk out of the way to move him. Cause I mean, it's just boom. Now he's there. And I don't know what happened, why he was doing that. I called the cops and they said, oh yeah, we know about it. We're getting somebody out there. And I told him, well, you need to get somebody out there now. I said, I just missed him. And I don't know if someone's going to hit him. Cause I mean, we're out here. It's nothing. There's no street lights. There's no cities around, nothing. It's just pitch dark, nothing but your headlight. And this guy's just walking down the middle of the interstate, pitch dark. And he had, I don't know if he was drunk, high, or mentally unstable, or all three. I don't know. It was wild. But I tell you what, after something like that, you don't need a break, because the adrenaline is pumping so hard after something like that. It's unreal. And like I said, to this day, I don't know how that R&L driver didn't roll, because he jerked it so hard, the wheel that rear pup came off the ground when it rocked. And I thought that R&L driver was going to roll it for sure. And just boom, all of a sudden there's somebody in the interstate, just walking down the interstate. And it was, I don't know. that was one of the wildest things I've seen out here.
That's crazy. There's nothing that scares you more than when the truck in front of you swerves and all of a sudden you're confronted with what he was looking at and you don't have, you know, you've got even less reaction time, you know, time to react to what you're looking at. I've had that happen to me.
Well, you know, he swerved like that. And I thought, okay, he had a blowout. So I'm looking for rubber I'm looking for something on the ground. I'm not looking 4 or 5 foot off the ground for a human being. I'm looking for debris on the road, you know, maybe a deer or something that got ran over, you know, something. But that's why I thought blowout, because how violently that driver in front of me reacted. That was my only thought. Well, he just had a blowout. He's about to roll. And cause you know, someone doesn't react that violently when there's just a gator in the road or when there's a dead deer or whatever, you know, they just kind of move over or whatever. But it was unreal. And to this day, I don't know. I came back down that stretch of highway the next day and there wasn't any blood smear or anything. So I guess they got the guy off the road before he got ran over. But I just couldn't figure it out. What drives somebody to walk down the highway? And we, like I said, we weren't near any towns, any cities. So this guy had to really commit to walking down the highway. And I started looking for wrecks. I thought, okay, well, maybe he wrecked and he's out of his mind or something. No, there's no wrecks, no light. I mean, we're just down the middle of nowhere. This guy had to really commit to getting to that section of the interstate. And it was just, and he wasn't a hobo. He wasn't hitchhiking because he was just walking. He was dressed, but you know, he didn't have any luggage with him or anything. He's just walking down the middle of the travel lane in the opposite direction of traffic. Like he's just waiting for somebody to run him over. It was unreal.
He must've been on drugs. He had to be on drugs.
You would think it.
Extremely, extremely mentally deranged. I don't know. I feel like scary is the wrong way to describe it because I wasn't scared after it happened. But, I mean, you were adrenaline pumping hard. You know, you start thinking about, well, what if I'd hit him? You know, what would that have done to me? Because I know what it had done to him. I mean, it would have plastered him. I, you know, 80,000 pound vehicle hitting you at 65 miles an hour. You're just a smear on the highway at that point. But, that's one of the wildest things I've seen out here. Haven't really seen any big wrecks or anything like that. So,
well, why don't you talk to me about the, I know this didn't happen in the rig, but, you had this other experience that maybe was a little bit more, well, drivers talk about seeing this and it's something that, you know, I've never seen and I don't think my dad's ever seen, but drivers talk about seeing these things happen while they're driving down the road at night. So talk to me about, you know, what was going on when you first saw what you saw.
Yeah. So this was one of the times I wasn't driving for a living. I was working in the oil fields and the company I was working for was based out of West Texas, but they had a location in North Dakota. In Watford City, North Dakota. This was back in 2013. Yeah, 2013, 2014, when the oil boom was really going on, and they had a location up there. And they called me December the 8th of 2014, asked me if I'd go up there to North Dakota to help out our location up there. And they told me it'd only be 2 weeks, then I get to come home. Well, a month later, Christmas time, they fly me home for Christmas, and then I go back up there, and then I work from December 27th till January 31st. And the work I was doing was going out there and servicing what they call workover rigs. They're miniature self-propelled drilling rigs, and I was chasing these three different rigs, going out and servicing them, and about every 8 or 10 hours, I'd have to go out and service one of them. And I did that for a month straight. You know, I go out and work on one. I go back to the trailer where I was staying. I crashed for 5 or 6 hours, then go out and go work on another one, come back, get 2 or 3 hours, and just constant for a month straight. They finally called me. They called me December 31st, which, you know, I wasn't complaining. I was making a lot of money. In a 2 month time, I made $24,000. So I was complaining about the pay at all. Yeah. Just stacking cash. So I wasn't complaining by any means. But in 2000, end of 2014, beginning of 2015, the oil field crashed. And so the company was closing up shop there in North Dakota, but they were keeping me on. So they called me on January 31st and told me I could go home. So I ran back to the trailer and I picked up everything that I owned, got a shower, ran by the what would pass for a truck stop there, got some food out of the all you can eat heater box, and I got on the road, man, and Watford City, North Dakota to Abilene, Texas. That's where I was living. And I was going, and I was in a pickup, just the pickup the company provided. And I'm hammering. And I left Watford City at 6:30 at night, January 31st. And I'm hammering, and I get through North Dakota. I get through South Dakota. I get into Nebraska. And I'm going down the highway. At this point, it's got to be 1 a.m. or so. And I haven't stopped for anything at all, you know, not even diesel, because the pickup I've got had a 100-gallon diesel tank in the bed of it, so I didn't even have to stop for diesel. And I'm just hammering. And all of a sudden, I'm out there on this desolate highway in Nebraska, which that part of Nebraska, I'm in the western part of Nebraska. I'm right there on US 83, and I just crossed into Nebraska from South Dakota, and It's so desolate out there. I'd driven for 3 hours, had not seen another vehicle. After you leave Rapid City, South Dakota, going south, it turns into just nothing. It's beautiful, but it's nothing. And I just crossed into Nebraska, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye. Not like a big reaction or something. It's just, you see some movement kind of right there where your headlights kind of start to get into the shadows, but it's not dark yet. I see something move, and I kind of blew it off, you know, because I looked, didn't see anything, and I just keep on hammering. And I'm doing 100 miles an hour. I've got the cruise set on 100 because that's how high the cruise will set. And so that's how fast I'm going. I'm doing 100 miles an hour. And a few seconds later, I see something again. And I look, and this time I catch a glimpse. It looks like a dog. But, you know, I have a Great Dane. And this was bigger than a Great Dane. But I don't want to say a wolf, because it wasn't real hairy like a wolf. I mean, it looked like a Great Dane, that kind of profile, real slim, real streamlined. But it was bigger. And like I said, I caught all this in just a quick glance, and almost thought it was a horse. That's how big it was. I almost thought it was a horse. I saw that quick glance, and then almost as soon as I catch that glance of that, it jumps across the highway. Not at me. It just jumps across the highway, and I locked it down. I mean, I went from 100 miles an hour to nothing in about 300 foot. I was smoking the brakes, smoking the tires, turned sideways in the highway, you know, and I'm just sitting there, and I don't know what, and I'm too scared to get out of the truck, but I feel like I need to get out of the truck to see if anything's going on. I get out, and I've got this big flashlight I carried with me, one of those big old school mag lights, takes like 5 D cell batteries. And I get out with that, and I'm shining it, and I can't see anything, nothing. Check under the truck, nothing. And so I get back in the truck, and at first I start out and I'm only doing like 50, 60 miles an hour looking for this. I can't see it. And about 10 or 20 minutes goes by, nothing happens. So I start hammering on it again. And, you know, I kind of get my nerves back. So I start hammering on it, set the cruise at 100. And I get just north of Ogallala, Nebraska. I can see the lights of Ogallala. And it happens again. I see this flash, and I look, and this time I got a good look. It looks like a dog. It's got the profile of a dog, but like I said, it's the size of a horse, and it's just running in the bar ditch beside me. which if you got to know about these bar ditches in Nebraska, they're like 8 or 9 feet deep and they're steep because they use them to catch all the snow that comes during the winter, and they can push that snow off there. So these bar ditches are deep, but this dog is running pretty well neck and neck with my truck. I'm doing 100 miles an hour and he's just staying with me. And when I would look at it, I could see a glimpse of it and I could see it running, and then it would just kind of fade off into the dark. And then I would look, I'd focus back on the highway and I'd get going, and then there it is again. And it's just, it's always in the corner of my eye. When I look right at it, I get a glimpse of it, and then it fades off. It fades off like almost like it turns back off into the shadows where I can't see it. And once I got to Ogallala, I stopped. There's a big TA truck stop there. I stopped. I got out, got some coffee, used the restroom and all that. And then I got back on the highway, and I never saw it again that night. Never saw it again. And the only reason I can think I didn't see it again is a few hours after that, I got to Dodge City, Kansas. The sun started coming up. And I, like I said, I never saw him the rest of the trip. Made it home that day. I made it from Watford City, North Dakota to Abilene, Texas in 19 hours.
Jeez.
A little over 1,400 miles. And I got home fine, nothing. And I didn't say anything about it because I thought, okay, you know, I've been running on 4 or 5 hours of sleep for a month, you know, just 4 or 5 hours of sleep when I can get it. So I thought, all right, you're just tired. And at that time I smoked. So, you know, I smoked like 2 packs of cigarettes. I was like, all right, you're just, you know, high on nicotine and monsters and you're just seeing stuff, you know? And cause like I said, every time I look at it, I'd get a glimpse, but it would just fade away. It almost, when you looked at it, you couldn't see it anymore. But if you looked at it indirectly, you could see it. And I never saw it again. And then not too long after that, I got back into truck driving. And I drove for about a month or so for this over-dimensional company delivering prefabricated storage buildings. And a lot of our driving was during the daytime, and it wasn't much driving. You know, if you drove 200 miles for the day, you drove a lot. A lot of it was just local regional stuff. But one night they asked me to go into Lake Charles, Louisiana, which is about 200, 300 miles out past where I usually worked. They asked me to go out there, go pick up a building from a customer that didn't need the building anymore, and bring it back to one of our sales lots. So I get out there to Lake Charles, do what I need to do. I'm coming back, and I'm on the interstate for a while, but then I've got to get off the interstate because I'm oversized. It's after dark. So technically I'm illegal. So I get off the interstate to get away from everybody. So I don't have to worry about anybody pulling me over, but I also don't have to worry about anybody running me over. And I'm driving, and this is East Texas, you know, East Texas. The last time I saw this thing was up in Nebraska somewhere. And it's almost a year later. And I'm driving down this desolate highway, little 2-lane highway in the middle of nowhere, East Texas. And I see it again. And I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm doing like 60 miles an hour, just kind of making my way across the area as safe as I can without anything. And I see it again, and it's running beside me again. And I look at it, and he disappears. He never jumped. It never jumped. I say he, that's my natural way to say it. He never jumped across the road again, except for that first time, that first night. But since then, every now and then, I'll see it out there on the highway, and it's always at night. And it's just, like I said, it's this big black dog looking figure, but it's, like I said, it's the size of a horse. It's big. It's massive, but it doesn't give you the idea of a wolf. Cause like I said, it's this real streamlined. That's what it looks like. It's like this real streamlined, figure. And I know that cause when he jumped across the road, that's when I got the best shot of him. The best sight of him was when he jumped across the highway. But I never thought anything of it. You know, I always thought, okay, you're just seeing things. You're out here in the middle of nowhere by yourself. You're just seeing things. I didn't think anything of it until about 6 or 7 months after I saw him that second time. I was talking to my dad, who he's never been a real truck driver, but he's driven trucks for his own, farming business. And I just mentioned to him, you know, have you ever seen the black dog? And he said, well, what do you mean? And I told him about what I was doing. And as I'm going through the story, you can kind of see the blood just start to drain from his face. And he says, well, I've seen him before. And he was my dad. There was a short time he was doing some work with his truck for a feed company that's near our house. He was running from Las Cruces, New Mexico, back down to the area we live in. And he got paid by the load, so he's getting as many loads as he could. And he said he saw it one night. And that's kind of what galvanized it for me. I was like, okay, this is something real, because I told my dad the story and he confirmed what I was saying. He just, oh yeah, that's, you know, he wasn't repeating the facts to me. He was telling stuff about how it acted that, I didn't tell him that that's how I knew. He's seen it before. I've seen it. I've known a couple other drivers that have seen it, but I'm the only driver that I know of that has seen it multiple times. And I still see it occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally when I get out there, and it's always when I'm out there, way out there in the middle of nowhere by myself. And, it's just there. And I guess he's kind of like my buddy now. I mean, he just runs with me is what it feels like. I mean, he only jumped across the road that one time. He's never made any other kind of move since then. He just kind of runs with me and hangs out with me for a while. And then, you know, then he might disappear. He might not. Sometimes he'll run 5 or 6 hours with me and I'll see flashes of him in the corner of my eye. And then sometimes I'll see him for 10 or 15 minutes, then won't see him again for a month or two. And I don't know. It's freaky, but almost at this point I've seen it so much, it doesn't even bother me anymore. You know, yeah, that's my one superstitious experience, is this black dog that just kind of seems to be following me around. And I don't know if it's something about me or what, but I see him pretty often.
Yeah, it's something about you for sure. You're a truck driver, and this is something that truckers have experienced. And, you know, for the audience listening, I know a big portion of our audience right now, since we're just beginning the show, comes from my other show, The Confessionals, and it's a paranormal show. And I want people to know, listening, that you're probably right now thinking it's a dog man. This is something that's a different phenomenon than dog man. This is something that truckers talk about. And it's this black dog that truckers see. Now, the idea of it was popularized after the Patrick Swayze movie, Black Dog. And that's why a lot of people think that it's just a myth. But this actually happens to truckers, and they see this dog, and, you know, but part of you could say, well, you know, we don't know what dog man is, and dog man could be this spiritual entity that people are seeing and all that. And you could go down that road. But the bottom line is, truckers see a black dog, and it typically pops up when they're tired. And you were tired on that first time you saw it. I mean, 19 hours on that trip, you were definitely tired. And so, like, we hear about these road mirages and stuff, but the weird thing about this is, if it was a road mirage, it's a lot of people seeing the same mirage. And it's for you to see it multiple times, I almost want to ride with you, man, because when it starts happening to you, I want to freaking see it myself and see if I see what you see, you know? Imagine that, though, if you had a partner in the truck with you and you both saw it, then you know you're not seeing things.
Yeah, no, I've had the same thought, and I've kind of sometimes taken that as a warning when I start to see the black dog, when I start to see him, you know, maybe I need to start thinking about pulling over and stretching my legs or something. But there's, like I said, there's sometimes I've driven 3 or 4 hours with it running beside me off and on, and I'm fine. I know I'm fine. You know, I've got my coffee, and I'm just making miles. And I never really saw him. I saw him one time when I was doing that team thing with the LTL. I saw him one time in that 10 months. And that was actually abnormal for me, because, like I said, I see it about every 2 or 3 months, it seems like. Sometimes I'll see it several times in a month. And I don't know if having someone in the sleeper with me, in the truck with me, kind of pushed him away or something like that. I don't know. In that 10 months that I was doing that team thing, I saw it one time.
Here's what you should do.
And that was it.
So, one, I want to ask you this before I forget, and you can answer after I'm done commenting here. You mentioned how it crossed the road at one point in front of you. I want to hear about that in detail more. But what I would do if I were you, if this happens like it happens to you, I would get a GoPro, and they make GoPro accessories that you can use. And I have it in my house. I don't use it because I'm not allowed at work, but you can actually clamp a GoPro on the outside of your truck to the mirror and turn it any which way you want. If I were you, I would get in the habit of driving with the GoPro pointed at the direction that it typically pops up, which is, I'm assuming, on the right side of the road next to your truck. And so it pointed in that direction and just drive and forget it's even there, and just change your card, erase the card as it gets full, and see if you can, when it happens to you, you can review the footage then and see if you actually got something on video or if it's not on video. But when this thing crossed the road in front of you, did it look like a physical dog? And like, how big was this thing? I mean, you say about like the size of a horse. That's impossibly big.
Yeah. I mean, when I say he crossed, I mean, he didn't like walk out on the road. I mean, I was driving 100 miles an hour and it's neck and neck with me. And all of a sudden it just makes a 90 degree turn and just clears a two lane highway, just jumps across a two lane highway, just clears it. And I slammed on the brakes. I thought it was actually something in the bar ditch jumping out. And so I locked it down because I didn't want to hit it. And I mean, he just jumps across this highway and just clears two lane highway. Never touched the pavement, and it stayed above my hood the whole time, you know, and so that, like I said, that's when I got the best view of it. And this is going to sound weirder. It almost looked like it was here and it wasn't at the same time. Yeah. It looked like it was a solid animal. But at the same time, it looked like it was a shadow, if that makes any kind of sense. He looked solid. It looked like I could physically hit him with my truck. But then at the same time, it's just kind of got this, the lines aren't as solid as it should be. You know, when you look at something, you can see, okay, that's where that thing ends and the atmosphere around it begins. You know, that's its physical boundary. It didn't have that. It kind of had this wavy, spiritual, mystical shadow effect about it, around the edge of it. And, you know, that's kind of why I've never talked too much about it, because the Patrick Swayze show, movie, Black Dog, it never jumped at me. It never really gave me the feeling that it was coming after me. It just gave me the feeling that it was there. And like I said, that one time it jumped across the highway, and it's never done it since then. And this is just my thinking. But I almost feel like it jumped across the highway to make me slow down. Because after it made me slow down and made me stop and kind of got me rattled there for a minute, and I was driving down the highway, like at 50, 60 miles an hour, I went through an area where there were several real sharp turns. And I almost feel like it was making me slow down, because if I had gotten into that area doing 100 miles an hour, I probably would have wrecked and probably wouldn't be here today.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because one of the things with the black dog is it's supposed to be an omen that means a fatal crash is coming. And so if it jumps in front of the truck and you get this vibe that it did it on purpose to slow you down, and then you see that you could have had a fatal crash, it just kind of falls in line with the legend of the black dog that drivers see on the road. Now, people, that the idea of that is that when you see it, there's going to be a crash coming, you're going to die. And it's like it's the omen signifying you've reached the end of the line kind of thing. But in this case, it does fall in line with the idea that, you know, there could have been a fatal crash coming. And I'll tell you, man, there you're talking more and more. And recently there was a video that popped up on Facebook. A person, I think in Louisiana, filmed they were freaking out. And I have the video. I'll send it to you. It's what people describe to be a dog man. And it runs underneath like a light. The problem with this is it's transparent. It's literally like half physical, half not. Kind of like how you said you felt like it was there, but it wasn't. This video, and it's huge. This thing, what you see in the video, is like 10 feet tall, and it's running on hind legs, and it's a dog-like figure. And so I'll send you the video and stuff if you want to check it out, because it might kind of resemble what you saw.
See, but the black dog I'm seeing, he's not transparent. I mean, it almost like he absorbs all the light around him. Because when he jumped across the highway that time, the only reason I saw him was because he was darker than everything else around him as he jumped across. You know, he didn't get in my headlights. He jumped higher than my headlights got. And I just saw him jumping because he was darker than everything else around him. And it's, like I said, it's not scary to me, because that's the only time it's ever made that. And I think that's what it was. It was making me slow down. And because, yeah, I mean, if I'd gotten into that area with those turns doing the speed I was doing, I might not have made it through. You know, and I don't know. It's, you know, my dad has seen it, and it never really did anything to him. He saw it. When he saw it, it ran across the highway is what he saw. It the way he describes it, it physically ran across the highway, and it kind of it rattled him, and it made him stop for the night, because what he was running, he got paid by loads, so he's getting as many loads in as he can. He's running about 600-700 miles one way and doing as much as he can, but that's the only time he's ever seen it, and he saw it that one time and has never seen it again. I'm the only person that I know that has seen it multiple times and continues to see it. And I don't know if it's the same one, or I don't know if there's something about me. I see it every now and then, but it's gotten to be so common with me. It's not anything that even unnerves me. It's just kind of like, oh, hey, buddy, you know, back again. And, you know, how long are you going to be around this time? And then he kind of does his own thing.
I'll tell you what, man, if it pops up like that on you and stuff, maybe it's something that every time you see, just tap the brakes a little bit, shake your head, and focus in a little bit more, because you never know what's going to be coming around the curve, you know?
Yeah, it's for sure. It's it almost makes me feel like there's something out there watching for me. It's kind of how I think about it now. It feels like it's almost, for lack of a better term, like my guardian angel out here or something. It just
running with,
I don't know, it's almost comforting. Yeah, just comforting when it's being out here. And I know it's got to be me, because I've changed jobs, I've changed trucks, so it can't be any of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, man. I'm really glad you shared this story, because I find that stuff fascinating. Obviously, you know, I kind of got my teeth sunken into the podcast industry dealing with that kind of stuff. Very interesting. I appreciate you sharing it. And I'll tell you what, Cannon, man, this was a good conversation. I'm really glad you came on to talk with us, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, you got any other questions or anything I could answer? I haven't done any research like you have. I've just kind of always taken it as commonplace and just accepted it.
Well, I don't do research either. My research is actually people telling me stories, and that's how I learn about this stuff. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot to research when it comes to these topics, because the only research you can find is other people's opinions on how they think this stuff works. And I don't think anybody truly understands how all this works. So the best learning I suggest for people to do is to listen to other people's stories, because you learn little details from story to story that accumulates to a better understanding as to how things operate around you. But to say that you have it all figured out, and the people who are like, I'm a researcher, well, that's cute. But, you know, every person that's a researcher can come across another researcher that has different opinions. And so it's all opinion based. Mm-hmm. And so the way I look at it is, what I do with my other show is I let people share their stories, because that's the best way we can learn, because these are people who truly actually experienced paranormal type things, and we can learn from their experience. Because if you if you take a priest and a witch and you put them in the same room and they have a paranormal experience, they're going to walk out of that room describing that experience very differently because they went into that room with totally different worldviews. And so you learn from other people's experiences, and their worldviews define how they're going to relay that to you. But you pick up little details here and there that cross the line of even topics. Like there's people who talk about Bigfoot having glowing red eyes. Well, we hear that about demonic encounters. We hear about that with dogman encounters. We hear about just glowing red eyes popping up in a dark room. So things like that, you kind of make notes of that, you know, it's not just all... Features of a story don't pertain to just that category, but they do cross over the lines. But as far as research goes, man, I'm just a dude with the podcast that talks to people and has a good time doing it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, it feels weird talking about it because, I mean, the whole time you're thinking that, I mean, it sounds like it can't be real, but I don't know. It just, it's happened too many times for it not to be real, but still at the same time, it's never something I can't put hands on him. I can't, you know, I've never gotten a real good look at him except for that one time it jumped across the highway. And even then it happened so fast. You have to think back on it. When it happened, I didn't even really know what I was looking at. It was hours later. It's like, man, you know, so what was that thing? And you're still thinking about it, still trying to process it. And it just kind of it looked like a dog. It was too big to be a dog, but I mean, I guess it's some kind of big black dog, you know, and that's kind of where I came to it was the big black dog. And before that experience, I'd never seen the Patrick Swayze movie ever. And then that happened to me. And then that's when I actually Googled black dog chasing drivers. And that's when that Patrick Swayze, when I found out about that Patrick Swayze movie and actually watched it, I was like, well, you know, nah, not really how it happened to me, but okay. You know, well, I don't know. It's definitely a crazy experience out there. And,
well, you know, the thing is, with it being real or not being real, it really happened to you, and that's what you know. And for you know, you experienced it. You know what you experienced more than what anybody else does. You know what you experienced, and so you take it at face value and say, "Hey, this is what it is." And I can't explain it, but this is what it is. And it does sound like it's a protector for you, you know. And that's kind of a cool thing, you know. I mean, I look at it like that's kind of a cool thing anyway. That's my take on it.
Well, it's definitely comforting sometimes to think about when you get out there on the open highway. It's nice to have that thought that there's something out there that, and you know, I might have it totally wrong. It might just be waiting for the next time that I have a mistake. I don't know, but as it is right now, it seems like a protector, and it's kind of cool to have that in the back of your mind. You know, hey, that guardian angel or that spirit, whatever it is, it's out there, and it's in one way or another, it's watching over me.
Absolutely.
It's definitely surreal though when it comes around. It's just kind of a, you know, it's hard to describe because it's just, I don't know, it's there, you know. It is. That's all I can, it is, you know, that's the best I can say. It is, you know, it's just, it is.
You know what, there's one thing I did want to say to you, Cannon, is you know, it's funny, when we first started this conversation, you were saying that you really don't have any stories. Your driving's kind of vanilla. Well, you know what? You really do have stories. And, you know, one person's vanilla is another person's pistachio. So I think you do. And this is the thing that I want to get. I wish you'd get this across to more truckers, is that everybody has a story. There is. I mean, it's just when you actually take the time, you start talking, you realize you have seen things and you have experienced things behind the wheel. And it's interesting to sit and talk about them. And you realize that when you're sitting in a break room with a bunch of other truck drivers, you realize everybody's sitting there talking about the things that they saw, the things that they experienced. And you realize everybody has a story. And so, yeah, it's more than just vanilla. It was really interesting talking with you. It was really a good conversation. Really enjoyed having you on and being able to talk with you about these things.
Well, I definitely appreciate y'all having me on. I'm sorry if I hogged the conversation, but I'm out here all myself. I don't have anyone to talk to all day long.
No, no. This is what the show's all about. You coming on and talking. Hey, listen, the more you talk, the less emails I'm going to get saying I talk too much. So the better you talk than me. So. Well, that's the show, buddy. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. That's the best thing you can do to help the show grow, is to just share it with your friends. Dad, can you give them some ideas on where to share the show?
I sure can. They can share it on Facebook. They can share it on Instagram. They can share it on Twitter. Just share the show.
Yeah, just share the freaking show. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.